Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tremendous opportunity, the gift of worship and the corporate body. There is nothing else like it, and this experience reminds us of what it means to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. And we are reminded of who you are as our head, as our authority, as our Lord, and the one who gave his life. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can declare that our sins are forgiven because of the sacrifice of your son Jesus on that Roman cross. And even as we sang earlier today, the reality that you have risen again from the grave, that your heart started to beat again, and you conquered sin, death, and the grave. And when we are in you, we have also conquered that as well. Lord, our hearts go out to the people of Pittsburgh and the massacre this weekend in the Jewish synagogue. We pray for your comfort. We pray, Lord, for peace. We pray, Heavenly Father, for justice. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our nation. As powerful as we are among all the nations in the world, we are so broken. We have such needs. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those affected by this tragedy. We pray for your peace, your comfort, and the power of the gospel to go forth among that community. So we thank you, Father. We commit this time to you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10 is a passage that I think a lot of us may be familiar with, especially verse 13. I know as a young high school student and as a college student, I memorized it. And often we look at verse 13 and we don't realize that verses 1 through 12 are a critical part of understanding what verse 13 is all about. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, a church that he literally fathered spiritually into existence through church planting, through the preaching of the gospel. And here are these group of believers, and as you heard in a very powerful message last Sunday from Pastor Barbara, of just the challenges and the problems of conflict within. And this church was not without those issues and struggles, and yet Paul doesn't give up on them. And what he marvelously does in this passage in chapter 10 is that he goes and takes them back to God's word, which for them was the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures. Because spiritually we are one and the same, whether it be the Israelites, the first century church, or us 2,000 years later here in the East Coast of the United States of America. We are one spiritual family, and I think we would do well to heed Paul's warning. So this morning we want to talk about four things in terms of how do we continue in our journey of life and faith and not get knocked down out of this race. He gives us four warnings. Don't overestimate how strong and secure you are. Secondly, don't rely on past experiences for the present. Thirdly, don't think that you are safe from certain temptations. And fourthly, don't forget about God's character during your trials and your temptations. First of all, verses 1 through 5, Paul reminds the church at Corinth and also us today to don't overestimate how strong and secure you think you are. Paul looks at the Israelites after all that they've experienced, an amazing deliverance and redemption like no other people ever in the history of the world. And yet Paul says in verse 5, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were knocked down. They were disqualified. Paul is relating baptism for the church in Corinth and for us today to the experience of the Israelites walking through the Red Sea. They experienced so much, and yet Paul says, as he looks at this precious church that he loves and gave birth to, as he thinks about their spiritual heritage and the great pastors and leaders and teachers that ministered to the church in Corinth, Paul tells them, don't be oversecure. Don't think that you are that strong in and of yourself or your past. Don't overestimate how strong you think you really are. It's a warning for us to always live in humility as the people of God. The Church of Corinth, as we look at their struggles and their conflict and the pain, Paul knew that they overestimated that they were that strong, that they were that spiritual. and that they were secure because of the leaders that they had, the experiences that they had. But Paul says, stay humble. Don't overestimate how strong you really are. This morning, God reminds all of us to never overestimate our own strength and our security. Whether financially we are doing well, we have a nice nest egg waiting for us. Your job is good. You're happy. You've been blessed with talents and gifts, and you're surrounded by your loved ones. You're physically well. And we as human beings, because of our insecurity deep within our hearts that every human being has, we build and cling onto security in every area of our lives. We have backup plans. We have health insurance, life insurance, home insurance. We buy safety devices. We want everything possible to give us the security that we are looking for us and our loved ones. But Paul reminds us, don't overestimate your strength or your security. Because when you do, you will forget, even as Israelites did, what happened to multitudes of them and thinking that they were safe and secure, ultimately trusting in themselves and not in the God who rescued and delivered them. The question that we ask ourselves this morning as we think about Paul's warning to the church of Corinth in the opening of chapter 10 is, how has God been showing you that you aren't really as strong and secure as you think you are? And when he reveals that to us in our lives, it is a humbling experience. It is a painful process. But we all desperately need to be reminded of that. We're not as strong. We're not as secure as we think we are. There is that humility that comes among the people of God that has us clinging and trusting unto him no matter what. The Corinthians thought that they were strong, that they were secure. They had this heritage. They had this history. They had great leaders. They were living in an elite global city of trade and finance and culture in the Roman Empire. And yet Paul says, look at the Israelites. Look at their heritage. Look at their experiences. And look what happened to them. God in his heart and care for his church and his people often reveals to us that we aren't as strong and we aren't as secure as we think we are, and that causes us to take a humble stance as we think our relationship to him. How has God been showing you that you aren't that strong and you aren't that secure? And if he has, what a blessing, what a gift. As discouraging and painful that that can be, as we're reminded to embrace that humble stance in life, that even this church in Corinth that was birthed by the Apostle Paul, Paul warns them, don't overestimate how secure or how strong you think you really are. But secondly, and related to this, is in verses 6 through 10, Paul also reminds them, do not rely on past experiences for the present. Do not rely upon the past experiences for the present. In verses 6 through 10, Paul takes them through the journey of God's people, the Israelites. Think about what other group of people in the history of the world experienced the mind-altering, mind-blowing miracles and demonstrations of God's physical power than the Israelites. Devastating power, tasting of his holiness. Has anyone walked here lately between walls of an ocean? Has anyone seen the complete deliverance and destruction of their enemies before their very eyes? I love playing with fire since I was a young child. I feel I'm the fire master. I love gathering the kids around and having a fire pit and roasting marshmallows and making the best s'mores on earth. But that fire that I can create will never, ever come to any kind of comparison to the pillar of fire. From the glory and power of God, the Israelites had to lead them and guide them in their journey. A cloud by day, a pillar of fire at night. And when they were hungry, that God would feed them manna from heaven as they woke up in the morning to see food provided for them miraculously in the morning, day after day, year after year. Israel experienced the most powerful blessings of God, and yet only Joshua and Caleb were spared from the original Exodus generation. We long to see and experience God's miraculous power and movement in our lives. And for a lot of us, we reflect back and we are so thankful. But Paul is saying, be careful of an attitude that over-relies upon the past. Don't over-rely on past experiences for the present. One pastor reminds us the Israelites were over-relying on God-given means of grace. As good as they are, as beautiful as they are, they were over-relying on God-given experiences in the past of their lives rather than depending and relying upon God Himself in Christ. Much easier to want to experience things of God, encounters of God, the peace of God, rather than trust and rely upon the person of God in Christ. Paul warns the Corinthians to look at the history of the Israelites and see what happened to them, that many were knocked down. Many of them did experience a shaking in their lives because they felt that because what they've experienced in the past was a guarantee and security of the present and into the future. Some of us have had amazing training, amazing discipleship, amazing retreats and opportunities to grow, renewal, revival, being used of God. We are so thankful for them. But it is, and Paul warns them, it is present faithfulness today that is most determinative. It's present day faithfulness. In other words, you cannot survive on manna that you ate 20 years ago. It has to be fresh. It has to be constant. It has to be daily. You must eat fresh today. Sounds like a plug for Subway, right? You must eat fresh today. We all know great athletes who had their glory days in their high school and college years, and now decades later, they're still living in those glory days of their past when life has moved on and they are only a shadow of their former selves. And we do that a lot by our faith, as we reflected together during that message, Never Revival, a few Sundays ago. Paul says to the church, yes, you experienced God's power. Yes, you had amazing teaching and pastors and discipleship and all these things. But don't stop fighting. Don't stop growing today. Don't stop disciplining yourselves today. It is present day faithfulness that is most determinative in your lives. That's why Paul always spoke in this present tense. I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body, I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Keep running today. Keep fighting today. Keep preaching the gospel to yourselves today. Keep praying today. Be thankful for the past experiences, the people, the relationships, the ministry. But don't live, as we are reminded, to the glory days of the past. Because in Jesus Christ, our best glory days are still ahead. I consider that our sufferings of this present time, Paul writes, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Present day faithfulness present day service, present day eating of the fresh manna from heaven today. When we forget that, we develop that false sense of security, we're ready for a fall. Thirdly, Paul says, don't think that you are safe from certain temptations. In verses 11 through 13, Paul reminds the Corinthians that the Israelites experienced the miraculous power of God unlike any people on earth. But he says these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. The Exodus generation experienced the deliverance of God in a way that few people ever have experienced throughout history. And yet, they experienced giving in to idolatry, the worship of other false gods, bowing their knee to golden calves, indulging in sin. Immorality, seduced by the Moabites, forgetting of their distinct call to be God's holy people. They, in fact, even tested the Lord as the people grew impatient. And that famous phrase that describes Israelites, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the Lord himself. These sins are not just ancient problems. And the things that we often think we are beyond in our growth, our maturity, our wisdom, our spirituality, we, with humility, Paul says, don't ever think you're exempt from those common temptations. Look what happened to the Israelites who saw the miracle and power of God. Idolatry, sexual immorality, testing of God, and a grumbling heart and spirit against the Lord and his servants. Paul says these are temptations that are common to all humanity. They aren't new. The Israelites struggle with it, the Gentiles struggle with it, the church struggles with it, and we struggle with it as well. As we move on in our lives and journey, we're never beyond those things. And Paul says, be very careful in the trials and temptations of life. Don't ever think that you are safe from certain temptations. All it takes is one hurt or pain. All it takes is a disappointing relationship or a marriage gone bad. All it takes is one accident or one unfortunate innocent incident, and our hearts can grow cold toward God. We are never beyond the temptations of life. We thank God for the ways in which He has moved and worked in our lives, but we always are careful and we're humble. And we realize that even the greatest of spiritual giants can fall hard. And so, we take that humble stance and are reminded, as Martin Luther reminds us, that whatever your heart clings to and relies upon, that is your God. Trust and faith of the heart alone make both God and idol. Who or what do we love? Who or what do we trust? Who or what do we serve with our hearts? No saint is above and beyond that temptation to have wandering hearts. Paul says, don't ever think that you are beyond the common temptations of life. Brothers, he writes in Galatians 6, if anyone is caught in a sin, a transgression, You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. How many of us know friends, family, and spiritual leaders who no longer walking with God, no longer going to church, no longer serving? You trace it back, and it's just one small incident, one situation, one hurt, and the heart goes astray. How we need to be careful and humble about our own strengths. Fourthly and finally, in verse 13, the second half, the most important of all, as you go through the race of life, as you are susceptible to falling, to being shaken, don't forget about the character of God during trials and temptation. Paul says, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with that temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We trust the character of God when we go through our trials and temptations and testing. And our natural hearts always look to ourselves. I can gut it out. I'm stronger than this. I'm better than this. No, you're not. And when you're going through a temptation, and it's the same word used for trial and difficult times, Paul reminds his people and reminds us today, the way of escape is the same word as Exodus. It is deliverance. God always provides his people with the choice, always has an exit path. And when we think about that, we trust that he never leaves us without hope or an escape. No temptation that sees you except what is common to men. Yes, but God is faithful. Trust in the character and the heart of God in the midst of temptation and trials, Paul says, and you will never be utterly or completely shaken. Even, one writer writes, when Christians face morally confusing situations, they should never think that they have no options other than sinful ones. There will always be a morally right solution that does not require disobedience to any of God's moral laws. How many of us, as we go through temptation, as we go through a time of severe testing and discouragement, doubting God, his goodness, and we begin to grumble like the Israelites, what do you do when Jesus says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you? That is my heart. That is my character. Do you trust in yourself to fix things and make it right in your life? Or will you throw yourself at the mercy of God, trusting in his heart and his character as our Father who loves us and gave his Son for us? That is how we will make it through times of temptation, trials, and testing. I was reminded of how true this is and how easily we forget when we go through these kinds of times and experiences. My close friend Richard from Chicago, who shared with a lot of us that after decades and decades of waiting for his dad to attend church, that just this past summer he began to attend church, and I shared that with our congregation. Little did he know that in a few months after him beginning to attend church, that he would be diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and was just given weeks to live. Richard and his sister loved Jesus. They loved the church and ministry. They've been praying decades and decades for their father. I prayed with him many a night. Lord, will you open up Dr. Yoon's heart that he would come to know you? We prayed for years together, late into the night, sometimes wondering, God, are you even listening? Do you even care? Oh, whatever, we'll just pray. And we mouth the words mechanically. Little do we know that God was mightily at work, even through this devastating cancer diagnosis with just weeks to live. Richard just communicated this to me. Dear friends, my dad, who has been struggling with tears over the past few days about whether he has lived a good life, I tried my best, finally received Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was baptized and took his first communion on his deathbed. Some would say, well, of course you're going to be desperate. It's never too late. God works in his own time frame. We often wonder in times what my friend Richard has gone through, wondering, God, do you even care? Do you love me? Why don't you answer my prayers for my family and loved ones? And God had a way. He was orchestrating his power and grace. When we go through temptation and trials, we throw ourselves to the character and the heart of God. My friend Richard went through a devastating divorce. He did not know where his infant daughter was for years, wondering if he would ever see her again. He finally was able to find out that she was in Korea with the mom, and then moved to Los Angeles. Richard's hope and prayer was one day that his parents could meet. Outside of the early few days of life as an infant, they can meet his daughter. And they did. Benedicta met her grandfather just a few days ago. She's already back in LA. But when I see the story and I'm reminded of the heart of God, of how he redeems the most broken of situations, this picture speaks of the grace of God, his heart, his character, his patience. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. Every prayer, every tear that is shed, every cry of our heart in the darkness of night, he hears, he cares, he loves, and he's guiding our lives step by step. And when you are struggling and doubting whether God cares for you, throw yourself at his character and heart when you're going through temptation and trial, and know that he is orchestrating something for your grace, something for your life, in which you would experience his power, healing, and glory. John Newton wrote that famous hymn. In the stanzas, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Paul reminds us in Romans 15:4 that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And that is what we find this morning. Paul is encouraging this struggling congregation that, frankly, I would not apply to. I would not want a pastor. And you probably may not even want to be part of this church in Corinth. And yet, Paul's heart is Jesus' heart. Loving, encouraging, praying, even in the midst of such devastating brokenness, conflict, and sin, he doesn't give up on them. And Paul writes, as he looks at the people of God, the Israelites, and warns them, don't overestimate how strong and secure you are. Humble yourselves. Don't rely on past experiences. But remember that it is present day faithfulness that is most determinative. Don't think that you are safe from the common temptations of life, no matter how strong, how mature, how wise, how many years you have under your belt. Don't ever think that. And don't forget about God's character during trials and temptations. He is leading and guiding us as a father that loves us and cares for us. I pray that that would encourage all of us as we engage in the battle of life, the race of faith, that we would remain firm, because when we are in Jesus, we will never ultimately be shaken. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of exposing our hearts. For a lot of us, Heavenly Father, you've been reminding us that we aren't that secure, that we aren't that strong in our own strength and power. And as difficult as that is, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the reminder that though in our past we have experienced your grace and mercy and power in ways that were life-transforming, help us not to pick at 20-year-old manna. Teach us with humility to eat fresh daily of the living word, the bread of life, and drink of the living water. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for reminding us of your character during our challenging times of life. Help us, Heavenly Father, to see how you hear every prayer. You know of every tear. You know our cries. It is to you that we throw ourselves to at your mercy, Lord, no matter what we are going through. And so, Father, we thank you for the encouragement and the challenge that you gave through the Apostle Paul to this very broken church at Corinth. And we confess that we are not any different than them. Strengthen us, we pray, in the name and power of Jesus. Amen.